Good morning. Such a blessing to be able to gather together to worship God in spirit and in truth. To be able to gather together to remind ourselves the sacrifice that was made and the forgiveness that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've titled this morning's lesson, Be Where Your Feet Are. Now, that may not make a whole lot of sense, you know, when you look at it linguistically. When you look at it as far as we would normally typically see titles. However, when we're talking about our scripture, like Psalm 118, verse 24, which says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. When we look at that verse, when we read that scripture, it tells us a very important truth. And that truth is that today was made for us. Today was made for us to rejoice, to be glad in the day. Notice it doesn't say tomorrow is the day the Lord has made, even though it's true. It doesn't say yesterday was the day the Lord has made, even though it is true. And so when we think about be where your feet are, we're talking about today. Today is the day that he made. I want to begin. I want to ask a question. Does yesterday's regret or tomorrow's anxiety ever trip you up in your walk? I see head shaking. It's true. We have so much emphasis and so much focus on what has already happened and what has not yet happened that we completely lose sight of today, of what's happening right now. I mean, I would imagine if you took out a calculator and you wrote down and you recorded every single moment that you focused on yesterday and you focus on what hasn't happened tomorrow, you're going to see that you waste a lot of time. We waste a lot of time worrying about things that are out of our control, whether it happened yesterday or today. We might have regrets over things that occurred. I know that I can certainly look back and see things that I've done in the past, which would also be yesterday, and see places where I've fallen. See times or situations where I did not measure up. And I can also see some regrets about the worry that I have placed on something that hasn't happened. The matter of the fact is that our faithfulness demands that we treat today as the blessing that it was meant to be. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Now, it's a proven fact that we learn from experiences. So yesterday was a good experience. Yesterday was a day that we could learn about how we deal with the next day. And the next day after that, yesterday was the day that we went through, that we can learn, we can plan for tomorrow, something that Scripture talks about as well. We can make plans, but we must focus on living for Him today. Now, I want to talk about something that is true. And the fact that life is short, it's brief. Life is brief in an instant to where it has been essentially spoken about again and again and again. It's a consistent theme in Scripture. We're going to go through several passages. I've put some on the screen, and so Caleb's going to help us keep all that in order. The first one's Job 8, verse 9. For we were born yesterday and know nothing, because our days on earth are a shadow that is here one moment. As the sun goes by, it disappears. Job chapter 14, verse 2. He comes forth, speaking of man, like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. So again, Job relates to man's time as a shadow that goes away. Psalm 78, verse 39. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. So the psalmist says that life is but a breath. In Psalm 102, verse 11, my days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. Now I want to turn to a couple of passages. James chapter 1, this won't be on the screen. This is one that I'd like us to look at. James chapter 1. And we're going to begin in verse 9. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. James writes, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as the flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. So speaking of the short time that we have. Now look over at chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 13. He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So James says an awful lot about what we need to focus our attention and our energy on. He says there that life is a vapor. And this is true. I mean, scientific evidence will show that water vapor, you know, water will, you know, whisk away. It just, under the heat of the sun, it just kind of vanishes. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, Peter says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. All of these passages, and I'm sure there are many more, all of these passages state the obvious. Life is short. But why do you think that God has chosen to put this in there? Because today is the day the Lord has made. We have to focus on what we have today. So this is a call for us to live a specific way. This is a call for us to be intended to use today just like God wants us to, in the right way. Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. The psalmist prays to the Lord for knowledge. Knowledge to specifically know, to have the ability to take mind in looking at time. Hebrews chapter 3, this is another one we're going to turn to. Hebrews chapter 3. Beginning in verse 7. The Hebrew writer, quoting from Psalm 95 here, says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So this brings us back to essentially what we've been talking about in our series on Sunday morning. We finished the series on, you know, entering into or preparing for glory. In preparing for us to enter into heaven, because that's what life is about. We saw the examples in the book of Deuteronomy that the children of Israel who were wandering through the wilderness were making their way to the prepared place that God prepared, the place that God had promised them. And the Hebrew writer is talking about that. And the fact that as they were out there, they hardened their hearts when they rebelled. They saw all the things that God had done. Those 40 years, they saw his works. They knew his ways, verse 10 says, and yet they always go astray. So this is a very, very important reminder for us to be intentional in life, to live life as God would want. James chapter 4, verse 15, we read it a while ago, says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. See, there's nothing wrong with planning for the future. There's nothing wrong with that man, that rich man in James chapter 4, putting out things for the future, going to a certain place and preparing to do business there. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem or the thing that makes it wrong is the fact that they do it without taking God's will into account. What is God's will? Well, is it that you go from this place to that place and make money? Well, not necessarily. But it doesn't make it wrong. So we need to understand the blessing of today. How important it is for us to live each and every moment in today for the purpose of God. Again, Psalm 118, verse 24, today is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's a gift from God. Every breath we take, every moment that we live on in this life is a gift. And Paul in 2 Corinthians, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, talks about something very important. As a matter of fact, he emphasizes the importance of the day. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning of verse 1. He says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, this is the part, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation is today. That's the emphasis that's given. We have to make the most of an important day, and that is today. Today is a blessing. So now we get to the part in the lesson where we're going to talk about being where our feet are, being in the moment, living in today. You know, when we look at the scriptures, it's very easy to understand that God wants so much more of a relationship with man. God wants us, you know, for the Israelites, it was for them to have trust in all that God had done and that God would take care of them. It's very important. It's imperative that we see the impact that this mindset has in real life. As we go through our life, we need to focus on what it means to faithfully walk with God. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, Moses urged the Israelites and us to number our days. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. As we go throughout the day, and as you know, as I mentioned before, yesterday happened. God gave us that day as a gift. How did we use it? He gave us that day that today we can say, I learned something from it. I learned the fact that as I continue to go, I must focus on what's in front of me. So this is the prayer that Moses gave. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to look at life as precious, to look at it as a single, it's a singular event, but in the instance of I can know that there is infinite time that it's going to end. There's going to be a time. And so teach us to live for the moment that we might gain wisdom in our hearts. Look with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is in the Sermon on the Mount. And beginning in verse 25, Jesus warns about the danger of worrying about tomorrow. Notice what he says, Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse 25. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So Jesus tells us that worry doesn't prosper us anything. It doesn't give us a leg up on the future. It doesn't help us in our quest to have a relationship with God. God knows that we need everything. He knows that we need the various things to keep us living and breathing and moving. He says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. God knows. And he gives the example of looking at the very natural things in the world. Look at the birds in the field. Look at the lilies. God takes care of them. God makes them beautiful and gives them everything that they need. He tells us that if we will only seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. So that tells us a very important thing that we need to understand. That when we look at worry, when we look at the day, today has enough struggle of its own. For us to compound it with things that haven't even happened yet makes no sense. to worry about things from the past that you cannot change will not help. It's useless. It's worthless. We need to focus on the moment. We need to be where our feet are. Philippians chapter 3, another one we're going to turn to. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, and he's explaining to them the difficulty that life is when we regard our possessions of importance. And he tells the Christians there that all the things that he had gained, look at verse 7, what things were gained to me, these things I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may gain or attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the call or for the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul emphasizes that he left the things of the past in the past. He left all the accolades. He left all his progress in Judaism. He left all of what he was up to that point in the past so that he could live today, so that he could live with his eyes focused on the glory to be revealed, the prize that was in the future. This is how we need to look at things. This is how we need to address and live our lives, not necessarily looking forward day in, day out specifically, but the focus of eternity. Because, you know, if you're trying to set a goal, you have to have the vision of where you're going to get there. So being where our feet are includes keeping our eyes on the prize. And then lastly, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We were already there once. We're going back. We're going to pick up verse 12. So he talks about in the past what the Israelites did. They hardened their heart. They saw the works of God. They went astray. That God says, they've not known my ways and my wrath is against them. They will not enter rest. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So it's pretty fascinating. The Hebrew writer obviously is writing to people who are thinking or have been or turning back and going back to Judaism. And he's telling them again and again and again, using different avenues of proof to show them that this is not wise. This is not a good thing. And he uses the Israelites as the example, talking about the ways that they live. And he says that all those times that they were with God, walking with God, and God was in their midst, all that time that they had seen all these mighty works of God, they didn't believe. They didn't truly have trust in God. And he connects the fact of unbelief and obedience there. Did you see that? When we don't do the things that we know that we're supposed to do, for God, it's unbelief. It's disobedience. Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested, and on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So we see there an encouragement by the Hebrew writer to continually strive, for the rest that God has promised, to continually encourage one another to live for today. So again, being where our feet are represents having and acknowledging what God has blessed us with right now. Don't worry about the past. The past, as a matter of fact, God has forgiven us. The past, the regrets, the sins, all the things in the past, they're forgiven. And God has told us, don't worry about the future because I'm going to take care of it. All we need to do is focus on where our direction is today. Where are we heading? Today is the only day any of us has to live. Yesterday is gone, and when tomorrow comes, guess what? It's today. When it comes, it's today. So we must be where our feet are. Thank God for today and live for it in him, for him, and through him. So the invitation is this morning. If you're here and you've been living your life, you're struggling with your walk, and you need prayers to continue on, to focus on what God has blessed us with. Maybe you're not a Christian and you'd like to become one. You'd like to study about what the Bible says and how to be pleasing, how to be a child of God. What do I need to do? Because clearly there's something I must obey. Well, the New Testament, we read in several places that we must obey the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Romans chapter 6 tells us that this is done when we are baptized into Christ. When we are lowered in water, just like Jesus was put in the grave and raised up, just like Jesus raised up from the dead on the third day, we rise out of baptism, out of the waters, to a new life, forgiven in him. So if you need that this morning, or you would like to study more about how to do that, or if you just need prayers to stay in the moment today, now's the time to come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.